God is good. But I remember it was about the third week of August. It was a Monday morning, and I was sitting down to start prepping a sermon here in the office, and it just kind of hit me. I kind of just became overwhelmed with all the things and all the responsibilities going on in life. I mean, it just kind of hit me, and I was reminded that I'm kind of responsible and oversee a church of about 800 people, a budget of about $750,000. God was resting on my soul that there's 12 staff members and a bunch of servant volunteers that are involved in this church. And on top of that, my daughter Tana was going off to college at the newer campus of The Ohio State University. New expenses kept popping up from everywhere. We had a doctor's appointment that didn't go too favorably the Friday before that. I had a pinched nerve going on in my neck. And to top it all off, we were starting the corn stand that week. And I was supposed to prep a sermon and get all the other pastoral duties done that week that I would normally do on top of being at the corn stand every day that week. And I just kind of became overwhelmed. My heart was full. My mind was racing. I think my heart was racing a little bit. And I just felt the weight of life. I just felt kind of the weight of the world in that moment. Anybody ever get there in your life? Maybe that's where you are today, where you just feel the weight of life, the weight of the world, the weight of your responsibilities pressing in on your chest or sitting down on your shoulders. And then I sat down to prep the sermon that day, and the title of the sermon that I was prepping was Overcomer. Now, I'm here to tell you God is good, and I'm here to tell you that God's timing is perfect. And our God is perfect. And what an amazing moment for me to sit down and as prepping this sermon and reading through these scriptures to have God minister to my spirit before he had me prep a sermon to come in to minister to your spirit. And if you ever want to learn something, you teach it. If you ever want to know something really well, you prepare it to speak to other people about it. We are overcomers in the name of God. Now, you might be in a place where I was that day, or maybe you're kind of worse off in your heart and your mind and your soul, and you feel like your life is too full. You feel overwhelmed. You feel like the obstacles and the barriers and the burdens are too big for you to be able to overcome. You feel like the challenges in your schedule are too great, and you have all kinds of issues you're dealing with. Maybe you're dealing with a health issue or a continued headache issue or a weight issue or a depression issue or a person issue where you're hurting somebody or someone's hurting you. Or maybe you just feel like you're never going to be able to overcome any of these obstacles and life is just too big for you. Well, today we're here to tell you that with Christ, you are an overcomer. When you have Jesus Christ in your life, you are an overcomer. It's not who you will be, it's who you are. It's who you are in Jesus Christ. It's not who you'll be tomorrow or the next day. When you say yes to Jesus in your life, you are an overcomer. And I pray that if you don't know Jesus today, two things will happen. Number one, today you'll give your life to Jesus Christ. And secondly, you'll realize in the process, you are instantaneously an overcomer in Christ. Paul says in the book of Romans in Scripture, chapter 8, verses 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's just memorable right there. I mean, that's a word we need to carry in our hearts. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, he says. No, in all these things, we are not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So if you're facing trouble or hardship or trial, if you're facing headaches or migraines or marriage that's failing or you have a loss in your life, you've lost a loved one or you've lost a job or you've lost something, then you know what he's talking about when he talks about facing troubles or hardship. Maybe like he's talking about, you've been facing persecution. You've been bullied at school or maybe you've been bullied at work because you want to focus on doing ethical business practices, but you have a boss or a coworker who wants you to skirt the line or cut corners here and you're just not up to that and you're being bullied because of it. Or maybe you've decided to save yourself for marriage and you just decided you're going to be a virgin and you're being bullied for that and you're being ridiculed for that. That happens on national news. A quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks was just being blasted on national media months ago because he said, I'm waiting to have relations with my wife until she's my wife. And that's what I'm going to do. And so maybe you've been bullied, or maybe like Paul talks about, is that you're suffering from famine or nakedness. Now, I'm glad to see that there's no nakedness that we're struggling with in here today. I mean, praise be to God. But maybe this whole famine thing, he talks about the famine and the nakedness. Maybe for you it translates that there is more month than there is money. There's more bills than there is income. And you're struggling financially and you're feeling a little bit of famine in your life. Or maybe you're battling danger like Paul talks about. And you got a bad doctor's report or a health issue or a loved one is struggling or suffering because of a medical related issue. What Paul wants us to hear is that none of this can separate us from the love of Christ. None of this can defeat the love of Christ in us because we are more than conquerors. And so we can lose everything but still have all we need in Jesus Christ because of his great love. And therefore, you are more than a conqueror. Now, it is not in your own power and strength, but it is through the power and the strength of Jesus Christ himself who loves us. He is the risen Savior and therefore makes us more than conquerors. Now let's talk about this. We're not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Let's look at what this means. In the original language of the text, when it says more than conquerors, it's not just a win. It's not just any old victory. It is a hyper exceedingly more than victory, a hyper exceedingly more than win in your life. It means to vanquish beyond all recognition. In other words, it is a decisive victory. It's not just eking through life. It's not just eking out this problem and barely existing on the other side of it. It is demolishing your opposition. It is not like Sylvester Stallone and Rocky Balboa when he is getting slobber knocked for 10 straight rounds by Apollo Creed. And he's getting beaten up and he's getting bloodied and he's getting bludgeoned and he's getting his tail kicked for 10 rounds and his head is swollen and his brain is damaged and he's walking around saying, "Yo, Adrian, yo, Adrian." And he ekes it out in the last minutes and he climbs up on that rope and he wins. That is not the kind of victory that we're talking about today. We are talking about a God kind of victory that vanquishes our opposition. We're talking about a Red Sea kind of victory that vanquished Pharaoh and the Egyptian army as the Israelites escaped. We're talking about a Gideon and his army kind of victory as they took out the Midianites in the book of Judges. You know, Gideon only had 32,000 men. And if that wasn't bad enough, God said, "That's not a decisive enough victory. I'm going to knock that down to 300 men." And God still used those 300 men to wipe out the entire Midianite army. We're talking about a God-sized victory, vanquishing strongholds and vanquishing our enemies. Now, what you need to hear today is that this isn't saying that you will never have hardship. This isn't saying that you're never going to have struggles. As a matter of fact, it's a promise that you will. Because if you are an overcomer, you have to have something to overcome. If you want a miracle in your life, you got to have a problem. And the bigger the problem, the greater the miracle you can expect. Now, the problem is we want to be an overcomer, but we don't want to have anything to overcome. Well, if you don't have anything to overcome, you can't be an overcomer. And so here's what this word says in the Bible, John chapter 16, 33. In this world, you will have trouble. That's God's promise. But there is also a promise, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So why are we an overcomer? Because Jesus is an overcomer. Jesus is the greatest overcomer that's ever lived, has ever existed in this world, has ever walked in this world, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's intercessing for us. You can be an overcomer because Jesus is an overcomer. Jesus had troubles. He had trials. He had enemies. He was accused. He was beaten. He was bloodied. He was tortured, and he died. He was crucified, and he overcome all those things, including death. And when he overcame death, it made him the ultimate overcomer. And so when the Bible says God wants you to become Christ-like and like Christ, no wonder we're overcomers because our God is an overcomer. And it is in his power of redemption that will help you become an overcomer. When sometimes we just sit there and think, man, I'm just an ordinary Christian. Now, hopefully we've been blown out of the water for the last couple of weeks, that notion that we're just ordinary Christians. Because there's no such thing as an ordinary Christian. That's baloney. When you have Christ in your life, there is no such thing, because when you have Christ in your life, you are a spirit-filled overcomer, a spirit-filled overcomer. And in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible says, King David wrote these words, they triumphed by the blood of the Lamb. Actually, I'm not David, that's Revelation, that'd be John. They triumphed. David's in Psalms. I got a Psalm coming up for you here in a second. They triumphed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So what he's helping us understand here is it says, when you are more than a conqueror, when you are an overcomer, what does that mean? It says, well, you are an overcomer by two things. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, and you are an overcomer by the word of your testimony. So let's talk about the first part here. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. So Jesus was slain. His blood was shed for you and for me, the Bible tells us. And the Bible tells us that there's power in the blood. Now, there's an old hymn called Power in the Blood, and we sang it at our 8:15 service today. But there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ, and through it, our sins can be forgiven, and we can have access to the throne room of God, not only for all of eternity, but here on earth. See, the blood covers over our trials and our challenges. And I remember that day when I was sitting in my office prepping the sermon, and I was just so overwhelmed with life. I just remembered the blood of Jesus Christ, and I felt it wash over me. You ever just feel the presence of God wash over you? And it's the power of the blood of the Lamb that can wash over all of our challenges, all of our infirmities, all of our trials. And that's the nature of the blood of the Lamb. Not only for forgiveness, but wholeness and healing is the power of the blood of the Lamb. And through it, Jesus can redeem our brokenness in this life, all because, all because of his blood. So you are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. You are also an overcomer by the words of your testimony. You are an overcomer by the words of your testimony. This is your story of who you are, but this is also your story of who God is in you, of what God has done for you and through you. Now I'm ready to talk about David here for a second. I got ahead of myself there earlier. Remember David and that conversation he had with King Saul that kind of went like this? I mean, all those days in a row that Goliath, the Philistine giant, was being sent out and challenging the Israelite army and calling them dogs and everything else and just really putting their God down. And nobody had anything to say about it. None of the Israelite army would stand up to this guy. He says, give me your best warrior and we'll just settle this right here. And for days this was going on. And one day David came to the battlefield to deliver food to his brothers. And by the way, all of his brothers were chicken. None of them would go out there. But David, little old David, little boy David, the youngest of his brothers, just a sheep herder, came out there and saw what was going on. And he was so disgusted that nobody would do anything about this Philistine that was defiling his God. He went to King Saul and had a conversation with him. And it went like this. Hey, King Saul, I will take on the giant. I will take on Goliath, to which Saul replied, oh, that's cute. Why don't you go back and tend your little sheep, little boy? You're just so cute. And he never took him seriously. But that's when David told Saul a story and told everyone else there in the room a story. He said, what you don't understand is that when the bear came upon me and I was hunting, God delivered the bear into my hand and I took him down. When I was hunting and the lion approached, God delivered the lion into my hand and I took him down. And just like God, this is what he says, and just like when God delivered the bear and delivered the lion into my hands, he will deliver this unrighteous Philistine in my hands because he defiles our God. Someone go get me a stone. That's what he said. He said, someone go get me a stone. So this cute little shepherd boy said, someone go get me a stone. And so when you're facing your giant, when you're facing your struggles, you throw your testimony at your enemy. You throw your testimony, the words of your testimony at your enemy. And you grab a stone. And you take care of business in the name of God. And that's exactly what David did when he took down that Philistine. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony, not under your own strength. And we need to take this into our heart and soul. This is who God says we are right now. And I want you to say, I am an overcomer.
I am an overcomer.
Look at your neighbor and say, you are an overcomer.
You are an overcomer.
Look at your other neighbor and say, you are an overcomer.
You are an overcomer.
Praise God. Are you getting this yet? You are an overcomer. And this is what we're talking about today. So if you are an overcomer, we got to talk about fighting. We got to talk about fighting in the name of God. We fight in two different ways. The first way we fight as an overcomer is we fight with a conquering attitude. We fight with a conquering attitude. And here's what's so sad is many of us have such a faithless existence. We have such a wishy-washy mindset when it comes to life. And what happens is the battle is lost in our mind before it's ever fought or experienced here in this world. We've defeated ourselves in our mind before we've ever had to set foot into the battle that we think that we're going to have to face. And so when you know that you're a conqueror, you will know what to do. When you know who you are, you will know what to do. And so when you know that you're a conqueror or more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ, when you know that you're an overcomer, you can stand strong. You can stand strong in a faith-filled attitude. And when you have a faith-filled attitude, it will lead to faith-filled actions. When you know who you are, you will know what to do. You see, godly belief will lead to godly behavior and will help you realize that the battle starts in your mind before it ever starts in this world. And we've got to pay attention to that because here's what happens. We get it played over in our mind that I'm a victim. You know, that this stuff is happening to me. Well, that everyone else is getting the breaks. I deserve certain things. I deserve to be treated this way or that way. I'm always going to be stuck with this problem. I'm never going to have this. I'm never going to have that. I'm never going to be able to get married. I'm never going to be able to have kids. Nothing ever goes right for me. Why me? I'm never going to have enough. I'm never going to get well. I'm never going to get healthy again. That is victim talk, and there's no room for it in the kingdom of God. Because you have Jesus in your life. And when you have Jesus in your life, you're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. And so we've got to get this right in our minds, that we vanquish our enemies, that we take down strongholds because we are his overcomer. And so here's how God is good. So here's how we overcome this. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. He says, we demolish arguments. I love that. Woo. You ever have an argument and you just don't feel like you have the right words? That's okay. Jesus lives in you, and he's demolishing that argument right in front of you. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we therefore take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So here's how this plays out. We take a hold of our mind. We take a hold of the whispering that goes on and the things that we think that we're thinking. And we say, no, I claim the name of God in that moment. You take captive every thought. I love that. God has given you the power and he's put you in control of what you think. You don't have to think the victim mentality stuff. You don't have to wallow in your own misery. You start thinking to yourself, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. And you say, no, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You start thinking things like, hey, this is an impossible situation. No, I have access to the throne of God. I'm going to pray hard. I'm going to circle his promises. And I'm going to live with the holy anticipation that nothing is impossible for my God, the great provider. You start saying to yourself, well, I don't think I have enough faith to be able to make it through this. You say, no, all I need is faith the size of a mustard seed. And God can move this mountain or move this wall or move this barrier in front of me. And so therefore, what it means is you're going to take every thought that isn't consistent with God's word. And you're going to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. You're going to make it obedient to Jesus Christ. And that makes you an overcomer. And as an overcomer, you're not going to let what anyone else thinks. You're not going to let what anyone else says. And you're not going to let what anyone else has done to you stop you from doing what God has called you to do, to live out the will of God. And you say, I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. I'm an overcomer by the words of my testimony. That's just who I am. And you say, well, Pastor, that's easy for you because you're a pastor and you don't have any regular problems. You know, I discovered this the other day as a pastor. When I pull up to a traffic light, all lights turn from red to green. Did you know that? You know, as a pastor, when I pull into Walmart, all of a sudden, all the best parking spots, they just open up. As a pastor, I never have any problems or challenges with obedience with my four kids. That's just your problem and issue. You know, as a pastor, we never feel like we have a financial pinch going on in our life. That's just your issue. You know, as a pastor, our cars never have mechanical failure or breakdowns. That's just something everyone else deals with. You should just be a pastor because you could walk around and just say, poof, and stuff just happens in your life. Hallelujah, praise Jesus. Because as a pastor, you never get sick. Or as a pastor, your family members never get ill. No, I have shared with you time and time again that what happens in my life and the challenges in my life, what I do today as a pastor, how I live as a pastor and a parent and as a husband is a result of overcoming every obstacle that's happened in my life along the way. It has molded me and shaped me. We talked about that last week when we talked about being molded and shaped into God's masterpiece. And I've shared the stories with you. I've confessed stuff up here that I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I said that. But man, I share stories with you where I almost flunked out of college as a sophomore. I shared with you that when we were first married, we were in debt up to our eyeballs. I shared with you that we battled infertility. We struggled through 13 foster kids. We've had a broken adoption. We've been through Apert syndrome and continue to go through it with all the medical emergencies associated with it, kidney stones, a mom with cancer, and other health-related issues, walls and barriers and obstacles everywhere. Can you relate to that? Amen. Can you relate to walls and barriers and obstacles? Well, guess what? You have a pastor who relates to that as well. I relate to those things. And here's what I want to tell you. I could have said in those moments, I could have pulled out my card. Not the credit card, the victim card. I could have pulled out the victim card in those moments. And I could have said, well, God, you just don't love me anymore. Well, God, you've just forsaken me. You don't care about me anymore. Listen, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hey, I'm never going to get better. My daughter's never going to get better. This situation's not going to get better. The finances aren't going to figure themselves out. The car isn't going to stop from being dead. I mean, well, you know, all these things you think, well, I could have played all those cards. You know, life is always going to be a mess. But here's what I discovered in the process. I've discovered that if there is a wall, there is a way. If there is a wall, there is a way. In the name of Jesus Christ. And with God in your life, you can go under it. You can go through it or you can go over it. It's just typically up to how God's going to work in that moment. And we're going to demolish strongholds in the name of God because we are more than conquerors, more than conquerors. In Psalm 18, verse 29, it says, in your strength, O Lord, I can crush an army. Amen. Now, let's talk about this for a second. I mean, we're talking about an army. You ever feel like you got an army of enemies in your life? You got an army of life just after you and you just feel the weight of that on your shoulders. You feel it pressing in on your chest and it just kind of feels like there's an army after you, sitting on your shoulders, sitting in your life, messing with you, talking in your mind. He says, in your strength. Now, in whose strength? Not in David's strength. In your strength, oh God. In your strength, I can crush an army. I can vanquish my enemies. With my God, I can scale a wall. Did you know? You didn't realize this. Did you know? Listen to this. With my God, I can scale any wall. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you had an inner Peter Parker. You didn't even know it. You got an inner Peter Parker. I mean, you are a supernatural Spider-Man. There is no wall that you can't climb. There's no wall you can't scale. There's no wall you can't get over, go under, or go through in the name of God. And so you got to get your supernatural spider on because there's no wall that's going to stop you from doing God's will because you're an overcomer. Amen. And you are more than a conqueror. And so here we go. We fight in two ways. We fight with a conquering attitude. We've got to get a change in attitude. And then secondly and finally, you fight with supernatural weapons. Not the weapons of this world, but with supernatural weapons. Not limited by the weapons of this world. You're not limited by the weapons of this world. And I mean, as human beings, we've created some pretty effective weaponry for here on earth. I mean, you know, we talk about atomic weapons, nuclear weapons. You talk about firearms or bow and arrows or knives or baseball, whatever it is. I mean, we use all kinds of things for weapons in this earth, but they are limited because they're not supernatural. Here is the kind of armory that God has given us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writes these verses in 3 through 4. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. Oh no. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So we are going to demolish all the pretensions. We're going to demolish all arguments, and we are going to demolish strongholds because we're more than conquerors, because we fight with a supernatural arsenal that starts with God's word. And in God's word, we hear some amazing things in God's word. We hear the idea that we have the helmet of salvation. And when we have the helmet of salvation, it's our salvation that protects us to take ownership of the thoughts that we have, to grab a hold of all of our thoughts and make them obedient to God. We have the breastplate of righteousness, Scripture tells us, which is this protective shell that helps us realize that in Christ, we have the righteousness that we need to be in relationship with God. We have the shield of faith that will repel the flaming arrows that the enemy and the evil one will try to send our way. We have the belt of truth around our waist. And that belt of truth is an opportunity for us to tear down every lie that the enemy wants to hurl at us with the truth of Jesus Christ. We have the shoes of readiness and peace, the Bible tells us, which allows us to run from any kind of temptation in the name of God and be equipped to do battle against it. But mainly, the Bible tells us that we have an offensive weapon as well, not just defensive stuff. We have the sword of the Spirit, the living word of God. Hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit, the living word of God. And one of the greatest ways I can illustrate how powerful this tool is to go back to one of my favorite movies, The Princess Bride. And some of you might have heard this illustration before, but it's a good one, so we're going to go there again. And you remember in the movie, the Princess Bride, the guy that was chasing after the six-fingered man, what was his name? Inigo Montoya. Inigo Montoya. And every time he was going after the six-fingered man because this guy killed his father. And so every person he ran into that was standing in his path, standing in his way, any stronghold, any barrier, any wall that stood in his path, he had a message for them. You guys remember the message? And first of all, it started off with, hello. You guys got to do this with me. Ready? Hello. All right, you got that first part down. I'll get the rest from here. All right. He says, hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Who? And he'd stick the sword out and take care of business. And nothing would stand in his way. I mean, I always appreciated the resolve that he fought with, the confidence that he had as he was walking through life, and nothing was going to stop him. And this is, sisters and brothers, what you and I do in this life. This is what we do when the enemy comes. You get out your sword of the Spirit. You go on the offensive with God's word, and you say, hello, I am an overcomer. By the blood of the Lamb and the words of my testimony, you killed my father, Jesus. Oh, but by the way, he has come back again. And through the power of the Spirit, I can do all things. Now prepare to die. Amen. Prepare to die. And so you take the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony, and you throw it at your giant. You take the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony, God's word, and you stick it to your enemy. And there's no wall or no barrier that God will ever cause you to be relinquished in front of. You can climb all those walls. You can walk through them. You can climb under them in the power of God in Jesus Christ. And so we are more than conquerors. We have the power to do all things in Jesus Christ because we fight with a new supernatural armory, with the words of our testimony, with the blood of the Lamb. I remember early on in our in our marriage, we were told that we would never be able to have children. We were told that it was physically impossible. But with God's miracle, today we have 4 children, 2 by natural childbirth. Praise be to God. We were told early on in Isabel's life that she was going to have hampered cognitive ability and she might struggle to process information later on in life. But I'm here to tell you that in the power of God, she has greater smarts than I do when it comes to street smarts. I mean, she's too smart for her own good in our family. I mean, she gets me in trouble all the time. It's crazy ridiculous when I look at her. And when I look at her and when I look at Austin and Tawny, I look at Elizabeth, I look at these people, I say, you know, Isabel's an overcomer. You know, I look at Austin and Tawny, and they came to us after 5 years and 7 years. And those first 5 to 7 years in their life, it wasn't pretty. But I'll tell you right now, when you talk to them, they do not use it as an excuse. They do not get out the victim card because they're overcomers. And I'm so proud of my kids and the challenges that they've had, whether it be physical or emotional or whatever it might be, that my kids are a reminder to me of what it means to be an overcomer, that we are not going to live with excuses. We are not victims. We are victors. We do not fight for victory. We fight from victory because Jesus has won the victory. He's already fought the battle. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. This is who we are. We are overcomers. Now, I just want to talk to some of you here today. Some of you, you've been paying attention, right? But I'm talking to some of you today because in your life right now, everyone else is telling you that you can feel sorry for yourself because you have a situation going on that feels impossible and nobody would blame you for feeling sorry for yourself. You know, some people might even say, you know, you ought to feel miserable about that. It's okay for you to feel miserable. Go for it. You deserve to feel miserable about that. But today, when we know that we're more than conquerors, today, when we know that we are overcomers, it's time to fight with supernatural weapons. It's time to fight as victors, not as victims, to fight like a man of God or a woman of God, to fight as a believer that our God can, because our God can. He can. And some of you have overcome, and you understand this. You've overcome abusive relationships. You've overcome addictions. You've overcome financial bondage. You've overcome health issues and numerous challenges. And you know exactly what we're talking about today because you've discovered the power of God that crushes and vanquishes all of your challenges and all of your trials. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this in God's word, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is not from us, but it is from God. We are hard-pressed on every side. There are trials. We are hard-pressed on every side, but hey, we're not crushed. We might be hard-pressed, but we are not crushed. We might be perplexed, but we are not in despair. We might be persecuted, but oh no, we're not abandoned. We might be struck down, but oh no, we are not destroyed because we are the ones who destroy strongholds. We are the ones who are more than conquerors. Why? Because we are overcomers. It's what we are. And when we know who we are, we will know what to do and how to live this faith-filled life. And we are by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. And though our bodies might be fragile jars of clay, we have the power of Christ that resides in us. And with Christ, we can do all things and therefore overcome anything. There is no more victims in this room, only victors. Only victors. No more I can't, but it is I can in the power of God. You are a victor, you are more than a conqueror, and you can do it all through Christ because you are an overcomer. One more word from God and we'll be done. In the Bible, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. A couple of action steps for you. Number one, take a step away from being a victim this week and take a step towards being God's victor. Number two, and it's a mindset, grab a hold of those thoughts. Grab a hold of those thoughts and give them back to God. Number two, get in God's word daily. That's how you grab a hold of those thoughts. You give God's thoughts to your enemy and allow those thoughts to deal with your enemy. Number three, throw your testimony at the opposition. Before David ever threw a stone, he threw his testimony. Amen. And that's what we need to do. We need to throw our testimony, our God story, at our enemy, at our wall, at our barrier, whatever it might be, and watch what God is going to do. You are an overcomer. Praise be to God.